world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good morning. You know, I didn't say much about it yesterday. Yesterday was tax day, and normally it's April 15th. They gave us an extra day yesterday. Hope all you guys are able to voluntarily comply. That's what they tell us, by the way. It's voluntary compliance, although we know that if you don't voluntarily comply, you're in a world of hurt. I don't want to jump into all that today, but the truth of it is the income tax is unconstitutional. Saw what only 45% of people even pay income tax anymore. The income tax, we're so deceived on that one too. We could do a whole show on that. Maybe we will. I don't want to be Irwin Schiff, but Irwin Schiff was right that the income tax is ungodly and unconstitutional. In fact, there was no income tax at all until 1913, I think it was. Maybe it was 1916 to pay for World War One. It's become part of American society ever since. And the money for the income tax doesn't even go to the budget. I don't know if you know that or not. It goes to the Fed to pay the debt. And so what a rip off that thing is. You know what I never liked about it? And you can't win it in court, but this is the truth. The Fifth Amendment to the Constitution protects us against having to be a witness against yourself. Self-incrimination, it's called. Fifth Amendment. Yeah. We hear people claim the Fifth Amendment all the time. In fact, Lois Lerner, when the IRS lady, when they had her before Congress, she continually pleaded the Fifth. We've heard Hillary do that a time or two. What's the Fifth Amendment say? I'm not going to answer that question because it might incriminate me, and I don't have to incriminate me. But think about your income tax. You fill out all your papers, and you send them all in, and then a year later, the IRS comes calling and says, hey, listen, we'd like to sit down and talk with you about your finances and your tax return. And by the way, would you bring all the evidence with you, please? We don't have any evidence with you. Would you bring it all? It'd be like if they take you into court for killing somebody. They'd say, hey, will you bring the gun and the shell, the spent casing? Can you bring that gun and that spent casing? And maybe you could get the fingerprints off the wall and bring those all in with you because we want to investigate what's going on. So the income tax is just an unbelievably huge, huge scam. And probably if you're watching this right now, you understand that. And if you don't, I don't know what to tell you, and I don't know how we wiggle our way out of it. The rich folks seem to not have to pay any income tax. We're so overtaxed and overburdened in so many other ways. Don't want to get bogged down on that. But yesterday was, in fact, tax day. We had a great show yesterday from Steve. Steve, I would give you a little bit of an ovation. I told Steve I've received several emails, and even my wife listened to what Steve had to say, and a light went on in her head yesterday as well. And I like to help everybody see that the purpose of all this information that we bring to the table is not to scare you. It's to prepare you. We're not trying to scare you. We're trying to prepare you. I believe we as Christians, I'll back up a little bit so I'm not right in everybody's face, that we as Christians should be the least surprised by what's going on in America. And I had a conversation with Roger, who's not with us yet. I'm sure he'll join us. Why is that stuff Steve spoke to us yesterday about? How come we're not hearing that from our pulpits? Don't you think that if a financial collapse is hinging out there, that we Christians ought to be the first ones to know about it? That we Christians ought to be the ones that making sure that we're safe and prepared and that we've done the right thing? Because here's where I stand on all the prepping and all that kind of stuff. To me, prepping in a way is kind of foolish. Because a meteor can land on my house tonight and I'd be out of here. I could hit a tree tomorrow on my way wherever. Tomorrow is promised to no man. So the idea that you can prep is in itself foolishness. Yet the Lord told us to keep our lamps trimmed. talked about the foolish virgins who weren't prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. And we could talk about that being about the second coming of Jesus, but I think it was even more significant than that we as Christians should be the ones who are least surprised at what's going on. We've got the Bible, we've got the playbook, we understand how this whole thing looks like it's going to unfold, and we ought to be the most prepared. And we have a lot of churches, they love to talk about prophecy and end times and what's going on, but for most part, church's end time teaching gets to the rapture and then stops. They say, don't worry about all that stuff because we're all going to be raptured out of here anyway. So don't worry about all that stuff, which, of course, is foolishness. And my plan, my feeling on the whole prepping thing is I want to be able, let's say there is another side of this, whatever's coming down the road. Let's say there is another side. I'd love to get to the other side to be able to help some people. I'd like to be able to make it to the other side to help reestablish some. I think about the little town that I live in here. I live out in the country, actually. But I think about out where I live here. If we would get an EMP attack, I hope you guys know what that is, but the power grid would all go down, and we would be in darkness for a length of time. Someone's going to have to try to give some type of direction. And I'm telling you, I think our churches aren't prepared to do it, which, again, is part of the problem, because I think when the financial crash hits or whatever hits, people won't turn to the church. They'll turn to the government. They'll turn to the government to be helped, when, in fact, it should be the church that they turn to. Every one of our churches ought to have some type of survival plan for the people in the congregation, people in the neighborhood. Our churches, instead of putting up plasma TVs and fog machines and all that stuff, they ought to have great, great, huge food pantries, emergency centers for people for stuff that's about to come. I don't know how close you guys are following this. This is not what I want to talk about today, again, but it's on my heart, so I'm going to say it. I didn't know this till about 2 years ago when I began to study it. Do you guys know that there's a huge, huge... Did you know that Yellowstone Park is sitting on a huge volcano? Did you guys know that? The Old Faithful, we all laugh about Old Faithful, the guys are going off. I thought, why is that going off? And I just saw a video yesterday that there's all kinds of geysers shooting steam. It's like your teapot. It's going off in all kinds of places out there. And there's a possibility that Yellowstone Park will erupt like Mount St. Helens did. Remember that? And they say the eruption of Yellowstone Park will have that absolutely, unbelievably devastating impact on that central area. It'll be what they call a nuclear winter type thing. The smoke and the dirt and will block out the sun. See, Coach, that's crazy. Well, is it crazy? Look at all the earthquakes that are going on right now. And then there's another theory. I'm just throwing theories out this morning. I guess I'm full of theories this morning. There's a theory it's not a theory. There's a large fault line that runs down right along the Mississippi. And I was watching a video, maybe it was last night even, that there's now speculation that the Mississippi River is going to split, that a fault line is going to come, and that it's going to, this one side of the Mississippi is going to be separate from the other side of the Mississippi. Say, well, where's all the water going to go, huh? It's going to go down. So, who knows what's coming? We got all these seismologists, and there's some crazy, crazy stuff going on around the world. Now, here's what I would say. See, again, we're under the judgment of God. And often the judgment of God is just natural consequences. Hey, you know, I hear people say, the devil's after my health. That devil, he's just after me all the time with my health. Say, no, it's what you're eating. That's what's after your health. The fact that you're not doing any exercise or you're abusing your body, that's what's after. It's not the devil after your body. It's you. It's the natural consequences. I got a few LBs I got to get rid of now that it's summer. I know how to get rid of the LBs, and I know what put them on there. It wasn't the devil. I did it. It's a natural consequence. And we are in the process of dying. All of us are born to die. So a lot of the things that we're blaming on the enemy is not necessarily the enemy. However, I want to show you some stuff today. I'm going to try to tie all this together because I got a couple videos I want to show you. Just going to make you, some are going to make you hoot and some are going to make you cry. but I think it's important that we say it. Anybody have anything for the good of the group here before we get really up and rolling here? Yes, no, maybe? All right, cool. Well, exciting news. I think I'm allowed to say this. Well, I'll say it this way. My quiver's going to get fuller. That's all I'm going to say. Just found out I'm going to have another arrow in our little quiver in our family, so we're excited about that. And began to think about reproduction in Christian America. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but I want you to think right now, how many people you know under the age of 30? You don't have any kids. I'm just settling there. I'm just settling there. Think how many people you know under the age of 30 who do not have children. And I can remember just back when my childbearing ages started 40 years ago, whatever it was, 35 years ago. If you didn't have a baby by the time you were 30, you would say, man, your biological clock's running. And now we see a lot of people that aren't even beginning to. And somewhere along, beginning to be parents, somewhere along the line, we lost the urge to be parents. Listen, I think it's critical. I bought into the lie, talking about me, my wife and I. As I look back over my life, I should have had 20 kids. I should have had 20. Bible says they're a heritage of the Lord. Open up to Psalm 127. We're going to go there in just a second. I think that's where I am. Yeah, Psalm 127. I want to talk about this because I think, again, we're talking about things that have a natural consequence in what happens to you when you break the natural consequence of God's laws in particular. And I look around at my children's friends and my friends' children. It's amazing how many of my friends' children don't have children, grandchildren. And I feel almost guilty when I cheer, hey, we're having another one, because I know that it probably hurts parents who don't have grandkids. You don't understand that. And they don't have them because we've told them not to. You understand that? We're in a culture where we're told them not to do that, even though the Lord told us to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. You go into churches. I'll never forget, I was at a big, big church in Columbus. And I heard the pastor talking to the crowd, and he said this: some of you folks, you need to wait till you have babies. You got to get your finances in order. You got to get yourself a stable job. You got no business being a parent. Well, that sounds good, except that flies in the face of everything the Bible teaches. We're supposed to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Children are the heritage of the Lord. Psalm 127. Let's go there real quick, because I'm going to tie all this together for you. Hey, guys, children are our future. Children are the Lord's future. Christian children are the arrows. Christian children. Oh, man. This is going to be a good show before we're done here. Psalm 127 says a song of the degrees of Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So we know this, unless the Lord's covering us all, it's vain. It's prepping is vain. It's all vain. If that's what you're counting on. If you're trusting in the prepping, moving your money around, it's all vain. 2, it's even vain for you to rise up early. And to stay up late. It's even vain to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sheep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now, hey, think about that a second. Do we really believe? No. Have we really taught our children that children are a reward? Guys, just stop and think about that right there. Most of us we're just the opposite in our view of having children. We're just the opposite. They're burdensome. I can't tell you the number of 30 unders who aren't having babies because they're so wrapped up in their own lives. And these are from parents of good, God-fearing homes who loved and lavished and poured their life into their children. And their children are not producing children. They're a heritage of the Lord. Now, look, here's why it's important. Lo, children, verse 3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. Fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children in your youth. Children when? In your youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. Now, wait a minute. The full quiver should make us happy. In an American Christianity, we don't talk about full quivers. Have two and that's enough. Have two, that's enough. What are you doing having so many kids? Happy. Happy is a man's got a whole bunch of them. I wish I had 10 of them. I hope I have 50 grandkids. Here's why, though. Happy is the man who hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. The kids shall not be ashamed. But they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. Our children are our future. They are the ones who are going to take on our enemies. And you're going to, I'm going to show you a video here in a second that I hope is going to make you cringe, because we've decided that's not a very important thing. Not a very important thing in America. Children are not important. And as a result, we are about to be overrun. Now let me move to something else before I get into the videos here. Do you know, guys, that up until my brain just went dead on me. The Supreme Court decision. Doesn't matter.
Burgerfeld?
Nope. Even before that, birth control was illegal in the United States of America. Did you know that? When I was raised as a Catholic, birth control. They tried to teach you the rhythm method because somehow you thought maybe that was okay to do that. But here's what's happened to us. This is why we have homosexuality, in my clear, honest opinion, okay? The church began to view sex as pleasure, as hedonistic. People decided that they were going to have sex just for the joy and the pleasure of having sex. And the more that happened, see, when the pill came in, boy, that opened the door, didn't it? It opened the door to free love. And so, therefore, something that God had made very special, the Bible said it's a mystery, a man and a woman becoming one, it's a mystery. We studied that earlier. That mystery of a man and a woman becoming one was a unique, God-ordained event because it had the possibility of producing children. And so, when we got the pill and we had the Supreme Court decision that made the overturned birth control, then sex went from procreation to pleasure, hedonism.
Griswold, Connecticut.
Griswold, thank you, brother. Griswold in Connecticut. So what we have now is, because those of us who are heterosexual, we like to have sex just for the fun of it. Well, so do the homos. And see, what's happened is when you take a birth control pill, you in essence become infertile, incapable of reproducing. That's the way the birth control is supposed to work. You can have sex just to have sex. Not the way the Lord planned it. The Lord planned it that every time we had sex, there was a possibility of life coming out of it. That's why it was a sacred. Life could be created. So we became hedonistic in our approach to having sex. And so since we became hedonistic, well, why not the homos too? Why can't the homos? Well, they're not going to have any children. Well, neither are most of the people under 30, because they're all using birth control and screwing whoever they want to screw. And so the idea of procreation has been ruined again by who? The church. See, the church dropped the ball. Oh, the courts say it's okay? The courts say birth control's okay? Oh, okay. Okay. Well, what about this verse that says children are a heritage? It's a reward. It's a reward. We don't view children as a reward. We view children as a burden. That's why we abort them. The children are going to mess up my life. Going to mess up my life. And we see men who, if they happen to be at the abortion clinic, men walking their girlfriends in there to kill their babies. It's just one of the most unbelievable. See, that's all part of this hedonistic culture. My life, my rules, my womb, my. And all of us know, because we've had children, that something that will make you not very selfish is having babies. When you have babies, that selfishness has to go out the window. Y'all agree with that, right? So our hedonism has led to a culture and a society now, a Christian culture. Remember this, a Christian culture, a society where children were valued and children were important. And we trained our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord so that they would be able to argue with our enemies in the gates. People laugh. They say, well, the good thing about liberals, they're not having children, so they're all going to die off. Ha, 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 ha. But we're right behind them. We're not having babies either. Michelle and I had 3. So I said I should have had 20. If I knew then what I know now, I'd had 30. I look at Dr. Patrick Johnston, my good buddy. He's got 10. And my goodness, our other friends, they have, how many they have, Shelly? Byers, how many they have? They have 10. And all of a sudden, they're going to have a great, 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 great big quiver full of them. If we train them the right way, see? Now we're having kids. We don't take care of them. There's no dad. We don't train them. Kids aren't a heritage. They're a burden. So I want to show you something here that anybody have anything to add there before I show you a video? Jared, let's get that first one ready on the Muslim thing. Guys, this is about 7 minutes, and this is sobering. And remember I told you that much of the judgment of God comes about as a natural consequence. All right? It's a natural consequence. The Lord says, do this, and you'll be blessed. Don't do this, and you won't be blessed. In fact, that's 2 Chronicles 7:14. I can show you that. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Dave, I got a question for you. This might sound kind of stupid, but what does your wife think about the 30 children?
Honey, what do you think about 30 children?
Just curious.
She's over working. She gave me a thumbs up. She'd have 30 of them. Now, see, now that she's old and she understands what children are, we all would agree with that, right? Now that we're older and we now understand how valuable they all are, we all look back and say, man, I should have had more. Roger Weaver should have had 10 kids. Come on, guys. Good godly men ought to be having a lot of children to produce a godly offspring, to contend with our enemies in the gates. And we're not being taught that in our churches, see?
Dave, go ahead, Roger. Dave. I just like sex, man. why do I need to get married and be responsible?
There you are.
Shoot, I just go to a bar. Shoot, I go to the church. I go to the church young adult class. Why do I need to get tied down, have responsibility, when I can just have it whenever I want it, baby?
Yep. Because it ain't about you, Roger. Okay, guys, sit back for 7 minutes. This is going to be very, very sobering. The consequences of just having sex for fun and not reproduction. 7 minutes, that's going to curl your toes. Go ahead and run that, Jared. The global culture, children here, be vastly different than the world we have today. That's what that just said. You're about to witness a report on the world's changing demographics.
According to research, in order for a culture to maintain itself for more than 25 years, there must be a fertility rate of 2.11 children per family. With anything less, the culture will decline. Historically, no culture has ever reversed a 1.9 fertility rate. A rate of 1.3, impossible to reverse, because it would take 80 to 100 years to correct itself. and there is no economic model that can sustain a culture during that time. In other words, if two sets of parents each have one child, there are half as many children as parents. If those children have one child, then there are one-fourth as many grandchildren as grandparents. If only 1 million babies are born in 2006, it's hard to have 2 million adults enter the workforce in 2026. As the population shrinks, so does the culture. As of 2007, the fertility rate in France was 1.8, England 1.6, Greece 1.3, Germany 1.3,
all white Anglo-Saxons,
Italy 1.2, Spain 1.1. Across the entire European Union of 31 countries, the fertility is a mere 1.38. Historical research tells us these numbers are impossible to reverse. In a matter of years, Europe as we know it will cease to exist. Yet the population of Europe is not declining. Why? Immigration. Islamic immigration. Of all population growth in Europe since 1990, 90% has been Islamic immigration. France, 1.8 children per family. Muslims, 8.1. In southern France, traditionally one of the most populated church regions in the world, there are now more than churches. 30% of children ages 20 and younger are Islamic. In the larger cities such as Nice, Marseille, and Paris, that number has grown to 45%. By 2027, 1 in 5 Frenchmen will be Muslim. In just 39 years, France will be an Islamic republic. In the last 30 years, the Muslim population of Great Britain rose from 82,000 to 2.5 million, a 30-fold increase. There are over 1,000 mosques, many of them former churches. In the Netherlands, 50% of all newborns are Muslim, and in only 15 years, half of the population of the Netherlands will be Muslim. In Russia, there are over 23 million Muslims. That's 1 out of 5 Russians. 40% of the entire Russian army will be Islamic in just a few short years. Currently in Belgium, 25% of the population and 50% of all newborns are Muslim. The government of Belgium has stated 1/3 of all European children will be born to Muslim families by 2025, just 17 years away.
10 years now.
The German government, the first to talk about this publicly, recently released a statement saying the German population can no longer be stopped. Its downward spiral is no longer reversible. It will be a Muslim state by the year 2050. Muammar al-Gaddafi of Libya said, "There are signs that Allah will grant victory to Islam in Europe without swords, without guns, without conquest. We don't need terrorists. We don't need homicide bombers. The 50-plus million Muslims in Europe will turn it into a Muslim continent within a few decades." There are currently 52 million Muslims in Europe. The German government said that number is expected to double in the next 20 years to 104 million. Closer to home, the numbers tell a similar story. Right now, Canada's fertility rate is 1.6, nearly a full point below what is required to sustain a culture. And Islam is now the fastest growing religion. Between 2001 and 2006, Canada's population increased by 1.6 million, 1.2 of those immigration. In the United States, the current fertility rate of American citizens is 1.6. With the influx of the Latino nations, the rate increases to 2.11, the bare minimum required to sustain a culture. In 1970, there were 100,000 Muslims in America. Today, there are over 9 million. The world is changing. It's time to wake up. 3 years ago, a meeting of 24 Islamic organizations was held in Chicago. The transcripts of that meeting showed in detail their plans to evangelize America through journalism, politics, education, and more. They said, "We must prepare ourselves for the reality that in 30 years, there will be 50 million Muslims living in America. The world that we live in is not the world in which our children and grandchildren will live." The Catholic Church recently reported that Islam has just surpassed their membership numbers. Some studies show that at Islam's current rate of growth, in 5 to 7 years, it will be the dominant religion of the world. As believers, we call upon you to join the effort to share the gospel message with the changing world. This is a call to action.
So there you go. All of those European countries, all of them, as you know, were white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. WASPs is what they called them. And somewhere along the line, we bought into the idea that children were a burden. And because children were a burden, we stopped having children, took up birth control, limited our families. And here we are after the great World War II, that great generation is gone. Their grandchildren aren't having babies. And so the judgment of God upon America will come in a demographic winter. That just from pure demographics, white WASPs, what are those called? White Anglo-Saxons, Protestants, are not reproducing. They're not reproducing. And one of the reasons, see, this stuff all connects together. Overtaxation. Because we're overtaxed so much, both parents have to work, so they can't afford to have children. The mother can't stay home. They can't afford daycare. And so it's been a plan of the devil. Yeah, the devil. His plan has been to get God's children to stop reproducing. Stop having children, God's people. Now, I think about some people I know that are close to me that are under 30 and don't have kids. They're just clanging cymbals. They're complaining about this, complaining about that. And guys, you know how quickly a 30-year-old is going to be 50 because we've all lived it. How quickly those life-bearing ages, how short a period of time that is. And then it's gone. And so we're going to have a generation of baby boomers' kids who didn't have babies while the Muslims did. Now, why are the Muslims having babies? Because they're not advanced like us. They don't have birth control, or at least they haven't. And so they go around and they're promiscuous, I'm sure. They can sleep with as many wives, have as many wives as they want to. And they go around and they replenish the earth. The devil always steals what the Lord said to do. The Lord told us to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. We stop doing it. We'd have our plasma TVs and our four cars and our country club membership. And as a result, we're not having any babies. Questions or comments at this point?
Because you had mentioned earlier, we talked on Steve's call last night, his Monday night call. I talked about when God set up the earth, he established two laws, physical laws, inertia, gravity, etc., but also, and more importantly, spiritual laws. And those spiritual laws are just as true and right as the physical laws that we see every day. They do have an effect on all of us.
In fact, they can supersede natural law, Jim. Spiritual laws can, right? The Lord can intervene spiritually and supersede a natural law.
Yeah, have, yes.
Larry.
Yeah, this, I don't know how old that video is, but I saw either
2009.
Okay, well, I saw one very, very similar to it, same information 15 years ago in a church. The pastor was very concerned about it, but then somewhere within a year after showing that video, the pastor's concern switched from the proliferation of Christianity to the growth of the pocketbooks Enough said.
Yeah, enough said. Steve? Steve in Indiana?
Yeah. Yeah, I have one. As a young father, I don't think having children would be an issue. It's all the influence and backlash that you have in society, if you get my point. Like vaccines and public schooling, with tablets, and I mean, there's so many different things. Quite frankly, to be honest with you, it's not that I don't want children any more than my daughter. It just makes you very cautious.
Steve, we're not going to win without them. We're not going to win without kids. I've had people say, well, who would bring a child into this world? Well, the Lord would want you to. He would want you to. Now, I'm gonna connect a dot here with another video that's just going to, if it doesn't make you sick at your stomach, guys, I don't even know what to tell you. Dave. Jared, yes, Roger. Jared, get ready the one about the students being interviewed. You know which one I'm talking about there? Go ahead, Roger.
Spend another minute. I liked, and it's the first time I've heard it with such clarity, is the issue of physical laws versus spiritual laws. This is a prime example, I think, of God sharing with us, telling us to go out and multiply, reproduce. Us not following that spiritual guidance, us not following God's teaching in the Bible, has severe consequences.
It does.
There must be other areas.
Spiritual also. Consequences, right. Well, I believe in every area that we live, Roger. If we disobey God's spiritual laws in regards to finances, we decide we want to covet, we decide we want to hoard, and we decide that it's all about me, look at the consequences of that. So we have people in our society who won't work because they think it's somebody else's obligation to take care of them. Violating that spiritual law, you don't work, you don't eat. And our society perpetuates that through welfare and all that stuff. And we ought to have a safety net, I understand that. But the idea that so many people don't work and are able to eat, that's violating a spiritual law that we're supposed to take care of our own. Scripture says that he who doesn't provide for his own family is worse than an infidel. That's a spiritual law. Larry?
Yeah, absolutely. He who doesn't work shouldn't eat. But, we have to realize and know that God knew what is happening right now was going to happen. He didn't make it happen. He didn't stop it from happening. He knew it was going to happen. And that's part of the good news, is that no matter what is happening now, you for yourself can not escape on a rapture, but you can become a part of his family, so that when the bad times come, as it says in Zephaniah, perhaps you will be sathar, or covered and protected. And God knew when he created humans that their nature for being rebellious, even a third of the angels rebelled, they're not even human. But it's hard to for me, it's not, I don't know how to put this, but for me, the concept of predestination, I kind of totally reject, because God gave us free will, but yet there's only one verse in the Bible that talks about that, and that is, choose you this day whom you will serve. Yeah, every day you choose who you're going to serve.
I think, Larry, I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
And so, you know, like you said, there's a balance in everything with God. So this Islam problem and everything, I don't know that there is going to be a physical here on this earth correction of this problem. I kind of doubt it, because everything is predicted in the Bible that evil that's coming upon the quote civilized world and civilization is part of what brought us to where problems we're at, some parts of civilization.
Well,
but that evil that's coming upon our world is inevitable.
Well,
the Bible talks about it.
But I go back to what J.R. said. It was inevitable Because God knew what the nature of man was. He knew what our nature, where our nature would take us. I don't believe it was planned out it was going to happen like this. But he said to us, listen, if you don't have babies, if you guys don't have babies, come on, man, reproduce. If you don't do that, there's going to be a consequence to it. So I think we're seeing that played out. Now, I want to go to another video because this one will make you laugh a little bit. If it doesn't make you cry, probably make you do both. This is a guy goes out, a man on the street interview. And I want you to watch now. Not only have they stolen our children through abortion and birth control and all that, not only have they stolen from them that way, they have stolen their minds. And I want you to watch this on a college campus. Go ahead and roll that, Jared. We can't hear it, Jared. No volume, Jared. You guys hearing it okay? We're not hearing it, Jared. Jared's working on a thing. It's worth, I wouldn't take the time. It's worth hearing, guys. Hang on.
And when you listen to this, think of the word putty.
Yeah, I just watch their faces and think, how did this is on a college campus? What happened to us?
Dave.
Yeah.
While he's working on it.
Go ahead.
You know, Dusty's down at UC and lives in a room, a house with five guys, and pretty good guys, but it is. He said, Dad, they're just clueless what's going on. Absolutely clueless, he says. Good guys, you know, enjoy the weekends, know how to party, get good grades, but clueless to our culture, clueless in leadership areas. They don't denounce God, but they don't really care too much, you know.
Yeah.
But just clueless, he says. And he doesn't say it in an arrogant way, but it just, he says, Dad, they're just not involved. They're not engaged. He says, that's just the way, that's what is down in most, in this school, and it's probably no different than other schools.
Well, I think one of the reasons that's happened is, Jared still works to get this thing up running, is because we have gone from our educational system and our churches have gone from an interactive learning system to a lecture system.
Yep.
You sit and you listen to others talk. And for most of us, that's not a very good, effective way to learn.
Are you aware of the debate happening around the ability to access bathrooms, locker rooms, spas based on gender identity and gender expression?
I think people should be able to have access to the facility. I think bathrooms could and potentially should be gender neutral because there doesn't need to be a classification for differences.
I think people definitely should have the ability to...
Hey, Jared, it's not rolling yet. I don't know what's going on.
Can you see it on my screen, Coach?
Look at JR. Click on juniors and you can see it.
You know, whether you identify as a male or...
Can't hear the sound?
Yes.
Sex at birth is... Matching to that, you should be able to utilize the resources.
If I told you that I was a woman, what would you respond to?
Good for you. Okay. Like, yeah.
Nice to meet you. No, like, why? Really?
I don't have a problem with it.
I'd ask you how you came to that conclusion.
If I told you that I was Chinese, what would you respond to?
I mean, I might be a little surprised, but I would say, good for you. Like, yeah, be who you are.
I would maybe think you had some Chinese ancestor.
I would ask you how you similarly came to that conclusion and why you came to that conclusion.
I would have a lot of questions just because on the outside I would assume that you're a white man.
If I told you that I was 7 years old, what would your response be?
I wouldn't believe that immediately.
I probably wouldn't believe it, but I mean... it wouldn't really bother me that much to go out my way and tell you, no, you're wrong. I'd just be like, oh, okay, he wants to say he's 7 years old.
If you feel seven at heart, then so be it. Yeah, good for you.
So if I wanted to enroll in a first grade class, do you think I should be allowed to?
Probably not, I guess, unless you haven't completed first grade up to this point, and for some reason need to do that now.
If that's where you feel like mentally you should be, then I feel like there are communities that would accept you for that.
I would say so long as you're not hindering society and you're not causing harm to other people, they feel like that should be an okay thing.
If I told you I'm 6 feet, 5 inches, what would you say?
That I would question.
Why?
Because you're not. No, I don't think you're. If you truly believed you're 6'5", I don't think it's harmful. I think it's fine if you believe that. It doesn't matter to me if you think you're taller than you are.
So you'd be willing to tell me I'm wrong?
I wouldn't tell you you're wrong.
No, but I say that I don't think that you are.
I feel like that's not my place as like another human to say someone is wrong or to draw lines or boundaries.
No, I mean, I wouldn't just go like, oh, you're wrong, like that's wrong to believe in it. Because, I mean, again, it doesn't really bother me what you want to think about your height or anything.
So, I can be a Chinese woman.
You sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
Yes.
If you thoroughly debated me or explained why you felt that you were 6'5", I feel like I would be very open to saying that you were 6'5", or Chinese, or a woman.
It shouldn't be hard to tell a 5'9 white guy that he's not a 6'5 Chinese woman. But clearly it is. Why? What does that say about our culture? What does that say about our ability to answer the questions that actually are difficult?
Okay, JR. So, fellas, it appears to me that we're doomed if we have babies and doomed if we don't. Because we're creating a generation of, those are college kids. Their parents are paying $50,000 to go to college, and they cannot give a logical, reasoned response to what is clearly an absurd question. Somebody help me out. Larry.
Yeah, you mentioned before the deal that we might get a chuckle out of it, and I definitely did because you know what I saw as I saw him interviewing all those different kids? And Roger, forgive me, I hope you still got your ears on and you're within hearing of this, but I saw future lawyers because they were taking facts and trying to twist them and squirm them and make them fit inside a fictional box.
Yep.
That they're trying to convince the judge and jury about. Then the box doesn't even exist in a lot of cases. And the lawyers are trained to do that. They're not trained to focus on truth. They're trained to twist and turn facts into a false narrative. And they get paid big money for it. I saw a whole bunch of lawyers being interviewed.
Did God really say? Did God really say? Good luck. Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah, I don't take any offense at that. I was in a courtroom hearing yesterday and probate court litigating in front of a judge, five lawyers, and my common sense almost wanted to scream as the manipulation of facts to the betterment of their client was taking place. Now, I'm not too bad at getting my words in, but it's exactly what you're saying, Larry. The manipulation of facts to the best interest of a particular individual, but not realizing your facts are wrong. You're not 6'5". You know, that's a fact, but yet not being able to tell the guy that he's not 6'5".
How's that happened? How has that happened to us, guys? See, it's all connected. To me, it's all connected. When you begin to reject truth, you will believe anything.
Yeah.
And it started in the churches. It started in the churches that Jesus just loves everybody. There's no right. There's no wrong. There's no judgment. Where I'm okay, you're okay. Who are you to judge? That was all over those kids in that interview, right? Who are you to judge? Well, golly, who am I to tell you you're not 6'5"? Who am I to tell you you're not a Chinese woman? Who am I to tell you? You know, if that's who you think you are and doesn't bother anybody else and it doesn't affect anybody else, well, then go ahead and live your life and just have the grandest old time. Min King, what do you think, man? That's your generation.
Well, Coach, it's an unmitigated disaster.
and it takes place in different levels. Where I went to school up at Williams, it wasn't quite like this. It's probably more like that now. But you know, from one end or another, people are just in it. They're just in it for themselves, and it's on one hand, it's just parroting an ideology.
Amen.
On another hand, it's just not wanting to deal with conflict because we're used to our comfort and our safe space, and
amen,
so we don't like to be challenged. And it's just, and this is one of the things we were talking about last night also. There's a sensitivity that is just so far above and beyond an emotional sensitivity to the point where truth is just not even a consideration. And that's in part due to the teaching that, well, all truth is relative. But if all truth is relative, is that a relative truth? Is that statement relative?
Amen.
So people are willing to adopt ideologies and approaches that are self-contradictory. And so we see this cognitive dissonance where people get pulled in different directions. And when there's any sort of conflict, it leads to some nasty outcomes. And so there's profound ignorance is, you know, there are many different things pulling at it. But most of all, it's just a vacuum where there's no truth.
Well, they're taught not to think. They're taught to not think logically at all. Go ahead, the other Steve. You want to say something, bud?
That was kind of what I was trying to talk about before you went to that video. It was like perfect answer about raising children in society. It's that very lack of discerning and seeing logical reasoning. It seems to be in everybody, not
Why
just
is it
college students.
They're incapable of making a logical argument. Now,
yes.
Guys, listen to me. I hope this program has made sense. I'm trying to connect the dot. Even as I'm speaking to him, I'm scrolling through my Bible here trying to find something. Listen, guys, it's all selfishness. It's all rooted in selfishness, every bit of it. Not wanting to have children, it's rooted in selfishness. Who are you to judge? It's rooted in selfishness. It's all selfishness. And so people don't want to say anything about anything because why? Well, they don't want to, you know, they don't want anybody to be mad at them. I found it in Ezekiel 34. Please go there real quick. Ezekiel 34. And this is the great deception. We are created in the image of God, and we've done everything that we can to do away with that image. We've turned to homosexuality, which is the ultimate slur of God. We've feminized Christianity in the church so that God appears to be a woman. We no longer want to reproduce children. If we do reproduce children, we want them all to be the same. We've done away with gender. We've done away with little boy and little girl identity. Our schools are filled with women who teach little boys how to be men, and women don't know how to be men. Women do not know how to be men. But we send our kids to elementary schools where it's all women. And it's even worse in the black community. The black community, they don't have any daddies, and you send them to school, and it's all women. And the principal's a woman. And the assistant principal's a woman. And they always have to answer to a woman, and they never learn to stand up and move and have their being in that image of a masculine God that he has raised them up to be. It's not there at all. I'm watching these guys in that video. Dare I say it, they're all sissies. They won't take a position on anything other than a woman can kill her baby. Or they'll take a position on, who am I to judge? That's the position they'll take. That's not a position. Ezekiel 34. Here's our problem. 34:10. You got that, JR? I'll let Roger do it with his new Bible there. Come on, Roger, we only got 6 minutes. I wanted to get here sooner. Ezekiel 34, verse 10.
I'll read it. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock.
Hang on, slow down. Here's what I want you all to see. Let's take this real slow. I want you to see how many times we see I will. Go ahead, JR.
Thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock.
I will. Go ahead.
And cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among the sheep that are scattered.
I want to stop there because we're short on time. I'm looking down through this. I've got it highlighted in my Bible. From verse 10 to verse 17. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 I wills. God saying, I will. When Satan fell full of lightning, what did Satan say? Does anybody know where that is? Is it in Ezekiel? I saw Satan fall like lightning. Does anybody know where that is? Come on, fellas. Help me out. I got to bring this one home. Somebody Google that. I thought it was in Ezekiel. Help me out here, Lord. We need
it. It's in Ezekiel 28.
Thank you. 28 Ezekiel. Where is it, Lord? Behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning. That's not what I'm looking for. I don't see it.
What, Luke 10:18?
What?
Luke 10:18, maybe?
It's Old Testament, I'm sure. Let's go to Luke 10:18. Maybe it is.
How about Isaiah 14? That's the I will.
There you are, man. Isaiah 14. Thank you, man. Isaiah 14. I'm trying to show you where the Lord says I will. And where Satan says, I will. They're in direct conflict. Isaiah 14. Thanks, Steve. Isaiah 14, verse 13, J.R. Can you start there?
Not there.
I will then. 13. 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? 13, for thou hast said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. The I wills. I. And so our selfishness is playing out in our children and in our nation. We won't have children because we're too selfish. And then when we do have children, we won't train them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord because we make them think that they are far more important and far more valuable than they really are. And that the end all of life is for them to be happy being what they want to do. The gospel according to LeBron James. I'm about out of time. You know what that is? Remember when LeBron James went to the Miami Heat about 6 years ago, 8 years ago?
What's best for him?
Broke my heart when I'm watching him on TV. He said he talked to his mama about it and he's going to take his talents to South Beach. And why did he take his talents to South Beach? Because his mama told him, got to do what's best for me. I will. There's consequences to it, fellas. There's consequences to our selfishness, our self-centeredness. And I don't know if we're going to have time to turn around or not. The population thing's an issue. Larry, we got about a minute. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, just 10 seconds. Just the definition of grandchildren is God's reward for not killing your kids.
Amen, brother. Amen. We were just reading that about what children are to a grandpa. And until you're a grandpa, you just don't understand it. Won't grandpa say amen on that one? Until you're a grandpa, you just don't understand it. It's the glory of an old man is his grandchildren. And we've done it to ourselves because we've taught our children that they're more important. Their happiness and their life is more important than producing grandchildren. And I go to the abortion clinic and I watch girls kill their daddy's grandson, and the daddy probably doesn't even know what's going on. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? I can't imagine somebody killing my grandchild without me knowing about it. Well, if I knew about it, they would never get away with it. It's the ultimate selfishness. God bless you, man. We're out of time. Something new every day. I will. No, he will. We'll see you tomorrow.